Welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church in Sacramento, California. Each week, these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Terrell. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message, and that you'll share it with a friend. This morning, Pastor John begins a new series entitled, Without Me, You Can Do Nothing. Long before he was crucified, Jesus prepared the disciples for the time when he would not be physically present. He was really asking them to do the impossible, which was to bring the gospel message to a hostile world. The great equalizer was the power of the Holy Spirit, but Jesus warned his followers they could do nothing apart from him. This concept was so important that Jesus stressed trying to do the works of God in the flesh would only end in failure. This message is entitled, Are You Connected to Jesus? Now, let's go to the sanctuary and join Pastor John as he begins today's message.
Praise the Lord and welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church on June 10th, 2012. And I'm glad you are here today and to those of you that have joined us and are watching us. So let's stand and pray and we get right into the message. My Heavenly Father, I want to thank you and praise you right now for these few moments we have here together. That Father God, we can get into the Word, dig deep, and that you will give us spiritual manna that would strengthen our spirits and give us more joy and more peace and more power. And I thank you right now, Father God, that we expect the Holy Spirit to speak to us now through your word in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. There's nothing worse for a pastor or a minister to not knowing what to preach on. And I got a message last week. I preached that. And then I said, now what? And it was quiet. And I was thinking, well, maybe I take one of the books in the Bible and preach out of that. You can always do that. So early in the week, now, God has a way to speak to me when I necessarily do not want to speak to him. About 3 o'clock in the morning. And so I woke up, could not sleep, absolutely wake up. And God began to speak to me. It was almost like it was a blazing banner. Without me, you can do nothing. Without me, you can do nothing. That's the title of our series we're going to do. And God showed me this, that we do a lot of work, a lot of things, but we do not necessarily ask God if this is what you want done. If you work for a business, you cannot come into work and says, well, you know, today I'm not going to work on this that you have assigned me for. I believe I'm going to do this instead. If you tell your boss that you're going to do your own thing, he will simply look at you and say, now, we need to talk about this. And if you insist, maybe we ought to part. Because as long as you work for me, you will do what I want. Not what you want. I am paying you for doing this work. This is not a recreation. Now, the world likes to have a positive thinking. And in general, people do not like to hear anything negative. They like to hear positive things. You're doing well. Things are going great. This is good, and so on. And if you look upon it, you will find that the liquor producers, they always talk about how fun it is. Have you ever seen an advertisement for Jack Daniel or some other booze of an old man, lot of beards, hanging down hair, toothless, homeless, and saying, this is good stuff? You ever seen that? What do you see? Beautiful young people, full of health, men, women, advertising this rat poison. And they never tell their customers about the danger of liver cirrhosis or the consequences of driving impaired. You never hear that. Food corporations never warn you about you might get fat if you eat our stuff. You ever read it in a warning? These potato chips will make you fat. You ever read that? No. They always produce it in such a way that you don't worry about heart attacks, strokes, or blood clots. Regardless of the product being sold, it is always advertised in a positive way with no warning of possible side effects or the result of abuse. The only exceptions are the tobacco and drug industry, which are required by law to warn their customers about side effects. I want to talk to you now about our Christian faith. The gospel means good news. Christians are mandated by our Savior to share the good news of salvation with the sinners so that he will repent and be saved and spend eternity in heaven. But Jesus did not only give us the good news, he also came with some demands. And this is what a lot of Christians says, well, I don't like to hear that. I like to hear the good news. I like to flow with the flow. But Jesus had certain things he said, this is what I want. Turn to John 14:15. That's the Gospel of John, chapter 14, and verse number 15, just a simple verse. And it simply says this. John 14:15. If you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. One of the commandments that Jesus gave was that we are to be baptized through immersion. Jesus told us to be baptized through immersion after we are saved. A lot of Christians says, well, you know, I don't think that's necessary. I don't like water baptism because I don't want to mess up my hair. Or, you know, I'm scared of water, whatever it is. But if you really want to be close to Jesus, you need to understand some of his requirements. He has some requirements. Let's talk about what we call a fellowship dinner. And we're asking people to bring a couple of dishes. And let's say that one person brings a dish and the rest of you do not bring any dish in. But you show up. You put on your napkin. You have your fork and your knife and you say, where's the food? And we look at the table, and there's one dish on the table. And he said, where's the food? Well, you were supposed to bring something. Look, don't put any demands on me. Don't try to control me. I'm a free person. I don't have to bring anything. It's a privilege for you that I'm here. Now feed me. Now, that's a pretty bad attitude. But this is how many of us are when it comes to Jesus. Free salvation, eternity in heaven, wonderful life. That's great. Jesus, don't put any demands on me. I am a free agent. I do what I want to do. It's a privilege, Jesus, that I came to you. And you ought to be glad, Jesus, that I'm going to spend eternity in heaven with you. That's a privilege, Jesus. You ought to smile when I say that. That's a lousy attitude. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Then you turn to Matthew 18. Let's look upon someone and what he said he wants us to do. Matthew 18. Most of these we don't like to do. Matthew, the 18th chapter, we pick it up in verse number 21. Matthew 18, 21. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times. Jesus unto him, I say to you until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. And when he began to reckon, one was brought unto him who owed him 10,000 talents. But forasmuch as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded to be sold and his wife and children all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found out his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence, and he laid hands on him, took him by the throat, saying, pay me that you owe. And his fellow servant fell down at feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. And he would not, but went to cast him into prison, till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after they had called him, said to him, O you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you desired me. Should not you also have compassion on your fellow servants, even as I had pity on you? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also to you, if you from your heart forgive not everyone his brother that trespasses. What do you and I fit into this story? You and I fit into this story. We owe God billions of dollars. We had a debt that was so huge that we could not pay that debt. And we sing that song, I owe a debt that I could not pay. And Jesus paid that debt. And he forgave us our sins, a huge debt. And then you and I look upon other people. We says, well, you crushed me once, I can't forgive you. I just can't forgive you. And if you cannot forgive, then you are not loving Jesus. You're not keeping his commandments. We have to forgive. And you might say, well, I just can't forgive that person. It's so awful. Nothing is more awful than your sins and my sins. And if you do not forgive, here's what you do. When you wake up in the morning, you have breakfast with that person you can't forgive. At lunch, you have lunch with him. At night, you have dinner with him. When you go to bed, you have him in your bed with you. Unforgiveness, you can never walk away from you. It eats on you like cancer. There's only one thing you can do, and that is to forgive. And then Jesus said, deny yourself. Turn to Matthew 16, 24. That's Matthew chapter 16, verse number 24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Dying to self. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. Whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What shall man give in exchange for his soul? If any man will come after me, Let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Have you ever been to a supermarket? It's kind of busy. You're in a hurry. You got your stuff in your cart. And you're racing down to the cash out, to the cashier. And you see this person just right in front of you. Get in line in front of you. Have you ever had it happen to you? What do you want to do? Take a cart and just tell the guy, you know, that was a nice dime. That's the time to forgive. It's a wonderful opportunity to witness and simply say, excuse me, sir, excuse me, ma'am. You know, I really was here before you were. But since you seem to be so important, and since you seem to have such an urgent drive to get out of here fast, I will graciously forgive you. Go ahead. That will do something to that person. What about if you have to work with somebody? And always somebody is needling you all the time. You ever had it happen to you? Don't raise your hand because I know it has. You know, you got somebody that is there at work and they throw stuff at you. They dig at you. They needle you. And they belittle you. And you simply says, you know, this is the time to simply reflect in your mind Jesus being laid out on the cross. As they put those nails in him, instead of cursing them, he said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. If you've got a person bullying you, if you've got a person that is needling you or just attacking you and always riding you, it's a beautiful way to simply disarm them. And there's the simple say this, brother, I forgive you in the name of Jesus. Sister, I forgive you in the name of Jesus. You're shooting the word of God. It will hit them hard. And they will simply, doesn't feel too good. You overcome them with the word of God. That's called denying yourself. Now turn to Matthew chapter 22. There's Matthew, the 22nd chapter. And you pick it up in verse number 35. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is a great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. It's easy to love God. It's hard to love the family. This is why in the church, I would say a church many times is like a nursery, kindergarten. People can't get along with one another. They always look for faults. But if you really love Jesus, you have to love your neighbor, people around you, and say, God help me to love this person. It's hard, particularly if people reject you. There are people that cannot receive love. They will reject you. What do you do then? You just simply say, I love you. You just keep pouring it on. There was a picture years ago of it was the sun, and it was the wind had a discussion. And the wind said to the sun, I have more power than you have. And the sun said, I don't believe so. And the wind say, see this guy there with an overcoat? I'm going to blow hard on him, cold air, and I'm going to blow his coat off. So the wind began to blow hard. And the harder he blew, the more the man just tightened it up, hung on to his coat, and he wouldn't let go. Then the sun said, it's my turn now. And the sun just shone on that man. And after a little while, the man just took his coat and peeled it off. And the sun said, see, I could do what you could not do. Love will conquer. Hate will have people simply dig their heels in more. Put your love on people and watch God move. And then the next one, abide in Jesus. John chapter 15. John, the 15th chapter. And we read the first 7 verses. I am the true vine, and my Father is a husbandman. Every branch in me that bears not fruit, it takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, it purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can you except you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same bring forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. The devil has a certain group of spirits that are very effective on Christians. They are called discontent. These spirits are not like fornication, adultery, witchcraft, and so on. A spirit of discontent is very slick. He wears nice clothing. And he begins his work by simply saying this to the person. You know, you are really a strong Christian. You like to hear that. And you say, yes, I have a strong will. I'm a strong Christian. And so this particular group of demons then will butter you up. And you begin to get puffed up and say, you know, that I'm really somebody, you know. I'm diligent. I'm always in church, you know. I'm tithing. I'm doing this, you know. I'm really somebody in the kingdom of heaven. And then the spirit of discontent have got you that far. They begin to say, have you looked upon this sorry person sitting over here? They're always late for the service. They are flaky. They don't always come. And you look upon them and say, yeah, you know, that's a sorry looking person. And then the spirit of discontent will simply look and say, now, look upon this congregation. Look upon these people around you. Look upon what a sorry bunch of people you are around. You do not really fit there. You belong someplace where you have a lot of Christians just like you. Now, the infection has gone from the head to the soul. And the person that becomes critical of other people, negative, always talking about how bad things are. And after a while, the poison will get so deep that the person decides, I'm going to do my own thing, and cuts off from fellowship and sits like an island all by himself. And that is the spirit of discontent. He now got the person sidelined. The person will float to the side of the river, get stuck, and the anointing is gone. And God simply says, can't use him. Too proud, too arrogant, too negative, too self-content. No humility, just negative stuff. Abide in Jesus. Abide in him. You know, I talked to a person the other day, and the person had gone to some kind of a clinic. And the person looked around in the clinic. It was a bunch of roundy people, like you go to the ER, you know, you always do not get the upper crust. And the person felt, you know, well, I really have fallen far down. Look at the clientele I'm around. And immediately the Holy Spirit just shot out of me and says, well, you're just like a Pharisee. They said, you know, thank God I'm not like this yo-yo over here. Thank God for me. And the yo-yo over there just smote his chest and said, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. And what did Jesus say? That man was more justified than a Pharisee. If you really want to be connected to Jesus, we got to recognize this. We are nothing. He is everything. Whatever we have, he gave it to us. There's only one thing that we can do, and that is to say, thank you, Lord. Praise God. To God be all the glory and the honor. No man can work for salvation. The penalty for sin was paid by Jesus the cross in John chapter 3, verse number 16. We read this. That's John 3, 16. For God so loved the world that he gave the only begotten Son, that whoso believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent on his Son into the world to condemn the world, that the world for him might be saved. Jesus came to save. Ephesians chapter 2. Familiar scripture, we've been there many times. Always good to go back. Ephesians 2nd chapter. And you pick it up in verse number 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourself, it is a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. We are saved by grace. We don't have to work for our salvation, but we have to work our salvation out. Turn to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians, the second chapter. If you pick it up from verse number 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but not much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. What does it mean to work out your salvation? What does that mean? It simply means this, that God has saved you, given you salvation, and now, abiding in him, you are working it out. Let me use an example of Michael Burns. Michael Burns purchased some time ago a work truck, has a utility bed in the back, has all kind of compartments, and in this truck is a lot of different tools. Now, if he gets a job, someone says, well, we want you to do this and that. He drives up to the work location, parks the truck, and simply stands there and says, I'm here. Okay, let some things begin to happen. And after about an hour, the owner comes out and says, well, I'm paying you by the hour. When are you going to break out your tools? What do you mean break out my tools? I drove here. I parked my truck. That should be good enough for you. I stay for 8 hours. After that, I go home. The owner's going to say, well, that's not going to produce anything. What do you mean produce? I didn't come here to produce. I just came to drive my truck here. This is what you and I do with our salvation. We have a work truck. We got all kind of tools. And we drive around. And we stop here, we stop there. But we never get our tools out. We never begin to tell people about Jesus. We never begin to develop our salvation. We are simply standing there. And then we drive home again. Working at your salvation means that you are kind, loving, sharing, testifying, praying, minister to people, and meeting people's needs. You recognize that every one of you that are here today, you that are watching me, somebody gave you the gospel. You might say, well, nobody talked to me. I found a Gideon's Bible in a hotel, motel. Well, who put it there? Who paid for it? Somebody did. Well, I watched something on TV. But somebody paid for that time. Every one of us got saved because somebody put some work in and worked out their salvation to the benefit of you and me. Where do we start? In John 15:5. Let's go back to John 15:5. We read this. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same bring forth but fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. To do the works of God, you got to do them through Jesus. You've seen Jehovah's Witnesses. They will go out, they know the scriptures, and they will convince people to join their cult. You find Mormons, the same thing, in a lot of different places where they go. And in the flesh, they manage to trap people and bring them in. You and I have the Holy Spirit. We don't have to trap people. We don't have to convince people. Our job is to abide in Him, in Jesus, and to lovingly share the gospel, minister to people, help them, and through the Holy Spirit, it will happen. But you have to walk with Christ. Look at the first page. If you don't obey Him, you have an unforgiving spirit. You are selfish. You don't love people. There's no way you can abide in Him. No way. To abide in Him, you got to join Him and do what He tells you. When Jesus walked on the earth 2,000 years ago, He had limited Himself to human body. And he had to rely upon the Holy Spirit. Turn to John chapter 5. The Gospel of John chapter 5. If you pick it up in verse number 17. But Jesus answered them, "My Father works hitherto, and I work." Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because not only broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal to God. Then answered Jesus and said to them, "Verily, verily, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do. For what things soever he does, these also does the Son likewise. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that himself does. He will show him greater work than these, that you may marvel. For as the Father raised up the dead and quickened them, even so the Son quickens whom he will." Look at verse number 19. Jesus said, "I can do nothing of myself." Jesus, the Messiah, said, "In myself I have nothing. It's my Father. I see the Father works. He tells me what to do, and I do the works of my Father." Who gave Jesus the power? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit worked through Jesus. And the Holy Spirit worked through you and me. Jesus went back up into heaven. And what we need to do is to simply say, "Jesus, what do you want me to do today? What do you want me to do today?" And he will show you. Now, there are certain things you don't have to ask. You don't have to ask Jesus if he wants you to go to the bathroom. You have to go. You don't have to ask Jesus if you're going to eat. You got to eat. But it might be you want to ask Jesus, "Do I eat now or do I eat later?" If you got a job, you don't ask Jesus before in the morning saying, "I'm kind of tired today. Jesus, do you think I should go to work?" He would say, "You should go to work, because that's your job. Go to work." But to everything else that is not automatic, we should always ask, "Jesus, what do you want me to do? Who do you want me to talk to today? Do you want me to spend time here and there?" Again, I'm going to stress that to you. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do. For what things ever he does, that also does the Son likewise." Now, if Jesus could not operate without God and the Holy Spirit, how can you and I do the work of God if we're not abiding in Jesus? Turn to Luke 11:9 now. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 9. And I want to pick Gospel of Luke, chapter 11, and verse 9. Have you read this? "And I say to you, ask, it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asks, receives; he that seeks, finds; and to him that knocks, it shall be open. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, would he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, would he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he should ask an egg, would he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good things, give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him?" Verse 9, "Ask, it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you." What is your desire in this life? When you come to the end of your life, and you know that you are going to depart from this earth, what do you want to take with you to heaven? Because the things you bought, house you had, cars you have, so on, you're not going to take that with you. You're not going to take your education with you. You're not going to take anything with you except what you've done for Jesus. What would you like people to say at your funeral? This is the person that loved a lot. This is the person that always had a good word. This is the person that always had an encouraging word for everyone. This is the loving person. This is the giving person. This is the person that just talked about Jesus. This is a person that loved God. Is that what you want to be known for? Or do you want to be known for the great cakes that you're baking? The great golf games you're playing? Do you want to be known for the trivia of, you know, all sports memorabilia? All different scores? What do you want done in your life when you're leaving here? What do you want to take with you? This is the time to make up your mind. As I wrap this up here, this message. Without me, you can do nothing. Are you connected to Jesus? You are saved. But really, are you walking with him? You know why many marriages are failing? Because there's no connection. To have a good marriage, you got to communicate. You got to spend time together. You got to go places together. You got to do things together. If you get married and you say, well, you know, I got work to do, you know, and I pay the bills, you know, and I'm busy, you know, and you just like two ships that are sailing, you know, meeting and not meeting at night, just passing each other. That's not a marriage. That's what he breaks up. It's a relationship. The same thing with Jesus. So you're saved. Now, begin to work that out. Shouldn't you say this? Jesus, I'd like to spend time with you here on earth. The Bible says I'm going to spend eternity with you in heaven. I'd like to get to know you here and now. I'd like to walk with you. I'd like to talk with you. I'd like you to be with me. I want to be connected. If you really want to be somebody in the kingdom of God, and if you want to be victorious, have joy, that's the way to go. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you right now for these few moments we had here. And Lord, I probably stepped on a number of toes here today, and this was not a message that was too positive. Has some demands in it. Father God, I'm just presenting the gospel as you present it in the Bible. And I pray right now, Father God, for the people here and for the people, Lord, that are watching and listening. They would take an inventory and say, and ask this question, am I content with my life? Am I happy with what I'm doing? Or do I want to change? Holy Spirit, minister right now. Because without you, nothing will happen. And this I ask in Jesus' name. You that are watching, you might say, well, I'm not in the church. I wish I could go forward. You can. You can stand up where you're sitting and watch your computer right now. And you can simply say, my Heavenly Father, I want to surrender everything to Jesus. I'm sick and tired of not being fully connected with you. Help me. to come close. And you might say, well, I'm not even saved. I'm not even a Christian, but I want to be a Christian. You can do it right now. Just ask God to forgive you for your sins. Ask Jesus to come into your heart to be your Lord and Savior. Acknowledge you're a sinner. And say, Jesus, come on in and save me. And he will. Then you call us, you write us. And we will help you further. But most of all, call on Jesus. Here at Resurrection Life of Jesus Church, the altars are open. If you need prayer, anointing, whatever it is, you come as we wait. In Jesus' name.
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth. And your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are. You've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, "Well, I'm a good person. Doesn't that count for something?" Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you three questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything, even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay, how did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all three questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these three questions are but three of God's 10 commandments. Failing just one commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking His commandments. That's why He said we've all sinned and fallen short of His standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5:7 through 8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends His love toward us, in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with His shed blood so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that He sent His own Son to pay a debt He did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are three places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of two places, heaven or hell. God did not send His Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." You see, God offers His love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward Him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, He will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, He will do for you. If you call out to Him, He will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past, and there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All He wants for you is to come to Him. He will help anybody who calls out to Him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, He will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, if you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today, one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, so act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to Him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that You would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now, and I put my faith in You. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that You paid for my sins on the cross through Your shed blood, and that You died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank You for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with You. Help me to be obedient and to walk with You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, you're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and He has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to Him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with Him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever.
You've been listening to Pastor John S. Terrell of Resurrection Life of Jesus Church in Sacramento, California. This message was the first part in the series, Without Me You Can Do Nothing, and was entitled, Are You Connected to Jesus? Long before He was crucified, Jesus prepared the disciples for the time when He would not be physically present, and they would present the gospel message to a hostile world. It was an impossible task, and He warned them that trying to do the works of God in the flesh would only end in failure. They would need the power of the Holy Spirit to be successful. We have only to look at the example of Jesus when He limited Himself in power 2,000 years ago and lived like a human being. He did not have any power in the flesh, but was completely dependent upon God the Father and could only do the works that the Father was doing. As a Christian, you need to pray and ask Jesus what He wants you to do on a daily basis. It is time to connect with Jesus and start living a victorious life in Christ. This message is available on cassette, CD, and DVD. When ordering, ask for sermon number 1346. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org. There you can learn more about Pastor Terrell's ministry, read insightful articles, and explore the online store. The web address once again is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. If you prefer to call us, the toll-free number in the United States is 1-888-708-3232. That's 888-708-3232. For calls from outside the U.S., the number is 916-944-3724. That's 916-944-3724. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today, and until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.